the yeas are 68, the nays are 31. Three-fifths of the senators duly chosen and sworn having voted in the affirmative, the motion is agreed to.
The voice there of Hawaii Democratic Senator Brian Schatz announcing that the Senate has voted to begin debate on gun control legislation. That's right, the greatest debating society in the world, the U.S. Senate, deciding yesterday not to punt but to embrace consideration and debate of the first significant gun control legislation since the 1990s. 68 senators there overcame a threatened filibuster to begin debate on new gun control legislation. The debate starts next week. Tom Diaz joins us now. He's a policy analyst for the Violence Policy Center and the author of The Last Gun. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Tom, we heard your voice yesterday on our program when we were talking about changes of heart and how people have really rethought their positions on gun control and the importance of guns in American society and the danger of guns in American society. You have your own story there. When you were back as a congressional staffer in the 90s, how did that debate begin? And using that experience, assess what do you think is going on in the staffs of some of the United States senators over the weekend and into next week?
Well, I was really, up until the time I went to work for then-Congressman Chuck Schumer, a pro-gun guy. I had, in the past, belonged to the NRA, and I have owned many different types of guns, and I was into competitive handgun shooting. When I went to work for Chuck Schumer, I went to work really as a terrorism guy. That was supposed to be my brief. And the person who did guns left the committee. I worked on the committee staff, and I was literally probably the only person other than the chief counsel who knew much about guns. So he said to me, Tom, you're now in charge of the gun account. And I had, I think it's fair to say, somewhat mixed emotions. But when we started to do hearings, I think the first one I remember, we did one called Kids and Guns. And doing a hearing as a congressional staff member is a lot like being a producer for a media show, meaning that you have to interview potential witnesses, find out what they might say. And I ended up interviewing children for a hearing titled Kids and Guns. And one story that just haunted me was a young woman in Washington, D.C., who told me the story of when she had seen her best friend shot down in the street. That really made me start thinking that the slogans and the bumper stickers that that are easy to repeat may not address the real world. Then the second influence was when we started looking at how the gun industry was changing the profile, the topography of guns in America, with its heavy marketing of guns that were derived directly from, and in some cases exactly the same as, military weapons. All of that caused me to think, this is not something that a civil society needs. And I became an advocate for strong gun control, and I'm one of the few people left in Washington who still call it gun control, and I've never looked back. So that's kind of my personal story. I think it's a very difficult question, and I'm heartened that we at least are going to open some debate, and that's all we're doing here. We have no idea where this is going to end up. But there are all sorts of strong political currents going on right at this moment in Washington. It's an extraordinary dynamic. I have no idea how it's going to come out, but I do think that it's going to go on much in the way the civil rights debates went on in the 60s and the 70s, and the Brady Law took 7 or 8 years to pass. So this issue is not going to go away because gun violence in America is not going to go away.
Well, Tom, what do you think the significance is that the debate seems to have shifted away from banning individual objects, magazines, assault rifles, and the like, and is going to focus, it seems, in the early going on the background checks and the nature of government monitoring?
Well, I have to say that I agree with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on this point. He described the pending legislation that's actually going to the Senate floor as better than nothing, but only better than nothing. I think the dynamic we're seeing here, and one that might change for some specific reasons, has been the feeling, and it's really not necessarily a Republican-Democrat divide, but it pretty much is. There are Democrats, of course, on the gun side, and there are a few Republicans who could potentially be on the gun regulation side. But the dynamic, certainly since 1994 and the assault weapons ban, has been gun control is just a real problem politically for Democrats. And they've tended to follow, by that I mean follow what they think they can find in what's called micropolitics in the polling, and not lead. There's something about the horrible events at Newtown that may be changing that dynamic. Certainly the Newtown parents and some burgeoning organizations outside of Washington have had an influence to at least get this subject on the table. But it is clear that this is possibly the lowest common denominator, expanding background checks. It doesn't address the dynamic of what kinds of implements do we have in a civil society that make it possible for a teenaged youth with a single gun to kill dozens of people
right.
in the space of minutes. We're not addressing that issue.
Does that mean the NRA is going to go along with this if it is lowest common denominator before we go?
No, we're not. It's not even clear that we're going to get that. It's clear that the NRA may have been like Napoleon here. They've chosen the battlefield, and now they're going to attack with their usual skill. And no one really knows. We may end up with worse legislation than has been brought to the floor.
Tom Diaz, author of The Last Gun, a policy analyst for the Violence Policy Center, like so many in Washington, paying close attention to what the Senate will take up tomorrow, take up next week officially, the first significant gun control legislation since the 1990s. Tom, thanks so much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about political comebacks later this hour. Stay with us. We'd love to know what you think is possible in terms of redemption, in terms of sports or politics. Some very interesting, utterly discredited characters think they're on their way back. We'll assess their chances. Stay with us. It's The Takeaway. So it's missiles in Korea, but handguns and assault rifles in the United States. You really had a lot to say about all those conversations we had with gun owners on the program yesterday.
My name is Paul Jeffries. I'm calling from Mohegan Lake, New York. I am a gun guy who loves to shoot, and I also am a liberal, and I am very concerned about the incredible negative and uninformed attitude of so many people who are so very pro-gun and so misunderstand the relationship between government, the civilian world, and what that responsibility is. I think their ideas are extremely misguided.
Thanks so much, Paul. Are the gun advocates like the NRA making it hard for some gun owners? What are the responsibilities of gun owners?
If you own a motor vehicle, it is something that is people claim essential, such as guns are, and you're required to have insurance because that motor vehicle could potentially be used to do great damage. Maybe we should be required to have gun insurance. If you want to own a firearm, you should be required to have some kind of insurance to cover the cost of what could possibly happen if is used inappropriately.
My name is Charlie, and I'm calling from Farmingdale, Long Island. I'm pro-gun, and I believe that gun ownership is a very big responsibility. I think it's very irresponsible for somebody to leave a loaded gun in their home with children. There's no excuse for it. I believe there should be a law. If you own a gun, you must own a safe to store it in.
Thanks, Charlie. Many of you, though, really didn't want to go there into this culture of gun ownership.
This is Richard from Manhattan in Washington Heights. Guns are ridiculously dangerous. There's no reason for them anymore. I'm sorry people love them. I'm sorry your hobby is all about shooting, but you're going to have to find another hobby. They're too dangerous.
Robert Groh, Akron, Ohio. I'm a chaplain, and I've seen gun violence. I've seen its effects. I minister to six families who lost children the past 5 years, and guns do not protect people. They kill people.
Robert and Richard, thanks so much. Reach out to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Be part of the conversation. We heard so many stories yesterday, and we're still hearing them, stories that are not part of the gun debate in Washington. We're going to explore that gun debate that will soon be taking place in the U.S. Senate in just a moment, but keep sending us your stories. You know how to reach us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs.
In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.